It's time now for the rural news with Maya Burry in Christchurch, Ōtautahi. And Maya, you've got more on the horticulture industry's plea for a Pacific Island travel bubble.
Kia ora, Max. That's right. As we've heard, orchardists held a media briefing in Hawke's Bay this morning where they said the carnage caused by this season's acute labour shortage must never be repeated. COVID border restrictions have resulted in a significant reduction in the number of seasonal workers from the Pacific being allowed into the country. Orchardists say the impact has been devastating, with whole blocks of apple trees going unpicked, leaving thousands of tonnes of export quality fruit to rot on the ground. Bostock New Zealand is the country's largest organic apple producer. Its owner, John Bostock, says the government needs to establish a Pacific Island bubble.
We haven't been able to fill any of our packhouses on any given day throughout the whole season. Picking's been extraordinarily difficult and fruit has got over mature. It's not only a question of picking fruit, but it's picking fruit at the exact right time. Our company has had a massive advertising campaign and we're getting New Zealanders, but we simply haven't got enough available New Zealanders to do the job. And we're calling on the government to open the Pacific, open the borders for COVID-free countries to come and work in New Zealand for next year. We need a plan for next year. This simply hasn't worked, and those who think it has worked are wrong.
That's John Bostock. And Bruce Mackay from Watties in Hastings says as a processor, it's also coming under immense pressure.
We're having to deal with erratic supply of product coming to the factory. We're having to deal with staff absenteeisms on a grand scale each day. Our labour pool is slightly different to those in the orchards. We're not so reliant on RSEs. We don't employ RSEs in our factories. We rely on those with temporary work permits and seasonal labour. And that labour supply, you know, the backpackers just don't exist. That's been severely depleted. Our recruitment agencies have managed to find the staff, they've recruited them, we've trained them, but we find each day that the absenteeism and the inability of us to fill our processing lines, production lines each day is a major problem for us. The big issue that we've got is what are we going to be doing next year? You know, we've got to make big decisions starting now as to how we're going to manage this situation going forward. And we just really want some clear direction from government as to what the rules are going to be.
That's Bruce Mackay from Watties in Hastings. A dairy analyst says the flat result at the global dairy trade auction overnight is actually a positive signal for farmers. The average price at the auction lifted just 0.3% to $4,081 a tonne. This comes off the back of a 3.8% fall in the previous auction, but in the one prior to that, there was a massive 15% rise. The price of whole milk powder, meanwhile, which strongly influences the payouts for local farmers, stayed unchanged at $4,085 a tonne. Westpac agri-economist Nathan Penny says prices were flat, but that's actually good news for farmers.
We had a massive gain in the first auction in March and then prices did pull back a little bit. Now the dust is settling and prices are sticking at that higher level overall. It's also been good volumes in the last couple of auctions, so that's positive as well. And prices are, sticking at this higher level, and that's supportive of a high milk price.
That's Westpac agri-economist Nathan Penny. And at the moment, Fonterra's forecast farmgate milk price range for this season is sitting at $7.30 to $7.90 per kilogram of milk solids. The government is backing a wellbeing program for Māori shearers in South Otago. The Ministry for Primary Industries has allocated $54,000, that's coming from a rural wellbeing fund, to the health and social service provider Toko Mairiro Waiora. Some of this money will go towards a program specially designed for shearers. It involves counselling and wānanga, mental health and life skill seminars. Program leader Tia Portai hopes their work will encourage young people into fulfilling primary sector careers.
I had a 20-year career in the shearing and wool harvesting industry, and since gaining this job, realising how much we don't have access to things like counsellors and just everyday needs of doctors and things like that, because we work so hard, and by the time we get home from work, everything's closed. So we just wanted to kind of create a wee program where people can understand what services are available to them and get their rangatahi interest in it, so that they could come in before they go out and start a career in the agricultural industries and have awareness of all of these services and things that are available to them in the local community.
That's Tia Portai, who's leading the wellbeing program, and she hopes showing rangatahi that there are fulfilling careers in wool could help address the shearer shortage in the area. A rural leader in Northland is encouraging farmers to learn from each other to cope with future dry events. The region has faced two back-to-back summers of meteorological drought, and NIWA's latest hotspot update shows soils in southern Northland are drier than usual this autumn. Chris Neal, who is chair of the Rural Support Trust in Northland, says climate change means drought planning will become even more critical in the future.
Some are well prepared. I think there were some lessons learned last year. In fact, there were a lot of lessons learned last year about being prepared for these dry conditions, given the predictions around changes in climate.
And Chris Neal says there are many examples of good practice that farmers can follow. Daniel Maxwell is a North Canterbury hill country farmer who, during a major three-year drought in the region, set up a support group to help his community get through it. He says decisions should be made quickly to avoid the worst effects of drought, and he says there's plenty to do on farm to be prepared.
You've just got to be prepared to make decisions early. You can't feed everything, so you've got to do something about it. So that may be culling stock, feeding stock or grazing stock off farm. And obviously that has a financial cost, but the cost of doing nothing's far worse. A lot of different feeds being grown now, plants that are, you know, they'll handle the drier conditions better with a deeper taproot. Fallowing country a lot earlier than normal is a good idea, so that way every drop of rain goes into the soil and it stays in there.
That's Daniel Maxwell, and that's the Rural News for today. Mā te wā. Back to you, Max.